Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we praise you, we honor you, we love you. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity, Lord God, to be in your house, Lord God. And Father, I lift up those who are sick this morning, Lord God. I lift up Rhonda to you, Lord God, and the Bennett family, Lord. And God, we just pray for them. And Father, I ask you right now, Lord God, this morning, and just pray your precious Holy Spirit, Lord God, will fill this place, Lord God. And Father, that you would speak through me, Lord God. Use me the mouthpiece of your people, Lord God, for your glory, not mine. Father, I pray if there's one in here, Lord God, that doesn't know you, that they come to you today, Lord God, that they follow you. And God, I pray if there's a Christian in here, Lord God, that needs a closer walk, Lord God, they'd do that today, Lord. And Father, help us to understand the situation of this world, Lord God, and all the things that goes on around us, Lord God, that you have control. And God, that you are God, that you are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. And Father, we just give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. Ask you to speak to us now. In your precious name we pray. Amen. As I studied this morning, I've been thinking, Easter's coming, and Lord, what you want me to do? And he keeps me in Revelation. But I want to, I only read the first part of it this morning, because that's kind of where God stopped me at. And I want to read that verse 7 again. And the Lord says to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write these things. He who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key to David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. What God introduces to John, or tells John as he's writing this on the island of Patmos, that he is God. And that he opens up every chapter by saying that, you know, to the angel of the churches, and he says that this is from God. But in this particular case, this being, and we probably won't get to the rest of this chapter next week, but this being God, God wants this church to know in Philadelphia, and this was a church that was faithful to God's word. Of all the churches, the church at Philadelphia was a church that was faithful to God's word. And so he wanted them to know, and he wants you and I to know, he is holy. God is holy. God is our holy God. He is the creator of the universe. God is everything. He is true. In other words, there's a lot of, and we're gonna flip around this morning, but he is God. He is holy. And there's a lot of other gods out there that are claiming to be God this morning, and a lot of people that are claiming to be, I talk about Buddha, Muhammad, all the false gods and all the other things. There's all kind of gods out there, but God wants you to know this morning that he is the only true God, that he is the only God that you can put your faith and your hope in, and we're going to celebrate that as we get into the Easter season, but he is the only God that is alive. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, died, and he arose, and he is alive this morning. And he wants to know that, he wants us to know, he wanted that church to know that was doing good. He wanted them to know that he was the true God. And it says in that, he who has the key of David, he has the key to life, he has the key to heaven, he has the key to hell. He is a God that is the only God that has it. I've already said, the other gods are dead and in their graves. You know, it's crazy how people can serve a God that you want to ask them. Because most of these people that serve Buddha and some of the other gods are supposed to be real educated people. Well, they walk up to the grave and the grave has got on it, born such and such date and died such and such date. They're serving a God that is dead, a God that's in the grave. Our God is alive. Our God is well. And I want you to pay attention to something closely. And it says, he who opens and no one shuts. Do you realize what God is saying there? If God opens a door, nobody is going to shut it. If God saves your life, no one is going to touch you. You're taken care of because He is your God. We're all His people. And He also says, and shuts, and no one opens. If He shuts the door, that's it. One of these days, God is going to send His Son, and Jesus is going to come back to this earth. And when He comes back, the door is going to be shut. The final judgment is going to take place, and that is going to be it. And no one, and He wants them to know, no one is going to open it. Now, I want to turn to God's led me there this Monday morning when I started studying it. God led me to Isaiah chapter 43. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11. And that's where we're going to be this morning. Isaiah 43, chapter 11, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11. The devil don't want me to preach this morning, I'm telling you. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11 says to go on with the I am God, I am powerful. He says, I am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. What else do you want? He is telling Isaiah the prophet, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is nobody else. There's nothing else. There's no one, there's nobody, there's no doctor, there's no psychologist, there's no theologian, there's no one that can save you except He. He says, I am the Savior and there is no Savior but me. I am the Savior. I am the one. And so if you want to put your trust in somebody today with the fear and stuff that's going on, people are scared to death. And I was talking to somebody else the other day and he goes to this church and me and him think on the same line. We're talking about fear. I am not feared of anything. I may be crazy. Y'all may think he's crazy. I don't fear anything. Sometimes I get concerned, but I don't fear what's going on in this world because I know the man that wrote this book that we're reading out this morning is in control. I know that he has my life in his hand. I know that he has my family in his hand. And he is in control. So why worry? He said, I am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. No, there's not no other Savior. There's no other way. Now, you know, you can go on in fear if you want to. Now, Brother Charlie Wayne is sitting back there in the back corner back there, and John told him the other day, he said he didn't fear, and he told John, he said, the only thing I fear, you may come home and live with us again. But that's the only, you might fear something like that, but you don't fear nothing in this world because God has got it in His hand. The next verse says, I have declared and saved. I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are witnesses, says the Lord, the God I am. What is God telling us there? He says, again, I am the Lord. I declare a declaration. You know, if we got the Declaration of Independence in the United States. This is God's declaration. He says, I declare and saved, have proclaimed. And he's telling about the children of Israel. And we are the children of Israel. If we are a child of God, we are God's people. And we'll read that again. We are His people. We are born. We are put on this earth to serve God. We are His children. And it's not His wish that not one of us should perish, but that every one of us would enter the kingdom of heaven. And so he declares this morning. He said, not nobody else. And this is God talking. Remember when we started the book of Revelation? He told John, he said, write these things that I tell you, and you put them in this book where people will know. And he says, I am. And at one time, John got scared, and he bowed down, and the Lord told him, don't do that. It is I that taught. It is I. Jesus told the disciples after he arose, he said, it is I who walk. It is me. And he's saying, declare, I proclaim, and there was no foreign gods among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses. Whoa. You know what he said? Therefore, you, we, his people, are his witnesses, says the Lord. Do you realize that you are a witness of God, that you are the one that God, this is God's declaration. He's talking to Isaiah about the children of Israel. He's talking about the churches. He's talking to you and I. And he is saying, you are my witnesses. You are my witnesses. You are the one. Up in verse 10, I'll back up some. Verse 10, he says, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. And he's talking to Isaiah, and he's talking to every one of us. We are his chosen people, and you're my servant I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. God is the Savior. God is the Creator. God is everything. God is the one that you put all your marbles in his basket. Don't put any in this. I know we got to live in this world. We got to survive in this world. But don't put your faith in this world, because they're burying people every day that never knew the Lord Jesus Christ, but had a big bank full of money and land all over the place. And then all, you know what that does? I'm dealing with a family right now. All that does is cause grief among the children when the person dies. That's all that does. That's it. That's all it does. The children are fighting each other and hating each other because daddy gave them this and they wanted that. And that's the way. God, if you want to put your faith in something, if you want to put your life in something, put your hand in the man with the plan. Amen. And that's Jesus Christ. The one that walked in Galilee, the one that hung on that cross, put your faith in him. He says, again, you're my witnesses. You're my witness, says the Lord. And he says, and my servant whom I have chosen. You're my servant, so I've chosen. We are God's servants. We are God's servants. That you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. People understand that God is God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that dwells in your soul is the Spirit of God, the precious Holy Spirit. And remember that. He said, before me, there, pay attention to this. The world, the scientists, educated people say, they talk about dinosaurs. They talk about, there was dinosaurs. Yeah, there was dinosaurs, all right. There was dinosaurs all over. There, all these things that they found, they was there. But he said, before me, pay attention to what he said, before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. In other words, I am God. Everything that is here, I created. And when I am gone, there's not going to be no more. What he's saying? When he leaves this earth, there's going to be heaven and there's going to be hell. If you don't believe me, go to Revelation 21. It tells you a new heaven, a new hell, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. When God is gone, we are the only ones that are going to have the privilege to live for eternity. So he is. He is God. And we are his witnesses. And what I want to ask you is, what are we doing as his people? What are we doing as God's people? Are we witnessing? Are we telling people about God? And I know a lot of you are. A lot of you call me at different questions and tell me to pray for one or another that you're talking to. Do you realize that we are God's witnesses? God says in verse 13, indeed, before the day was, I am here. And there is no one whom can deliver out of my hand, can deliver out of my hand. I work, and I who will reserve it. He said, no one. See what? There is no one who can deliver out of my hand. Do you realize what God said? When the Holy Spirit of God calls on you, and when you make up your hard-headed mind to come to Jesus Christ and serve him, there is no one, there is nobody. I didn't say that. There's no doctrine, that no book that you can read except this one. And it says, God says, I am He. And He says, indeed, before the day was, I am He. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. No one. What does no one mean? Nobody. No one. There is nothing. Nobody. Do you understand what God is trying to say? And in the book of Revelation, He says, I am. I am telling you this. I want you to know this. What other, I say it all the time, but there is not a company, there's not an insurance policy that you can buy nowhere in this world that can guarantee you that that's it. That's all you need. All you need is Liberty Mutual Insurance. That's the one I'm thinking about. That's all they can say all they want to sell their insurance policy. And when you die, they may pay your family some money, but that's not it, people. What makes a difference is if you do what Jesus said and you accept Him as your Lord and Savior and tell Him that you believe that He is the King of Kings, that He is the Lord of Lords, that He gave His life on that cross at Calvary, that you put your full trust in Him. If you're here this morning looking for fire insurance, that's not it. Jesus will save you from the fire, but you got to give Him your whole life, not just a piece of your life, not just, you come down here and you take some preacher by the hand and you say a prayer and you repeat it after him and you get baptized and you go out there and you never felt anything. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I am talking about, God is talking about, if you believe that He is I am and that He, when He puts you in His hand, that no one can ever take you out of His hand. I thought about this. I was reading it this week. I thought about, you ever been digging out here? I mean, right here in Oakhurst, when I break up my garden, I've dug up rocks that were broke in half, and there in that rock was a shell that come from the flood. Yeah, you can say what they want to, scientists. They come from the flood. But that rock was in, that shell was in, was in that rock. And it had been there for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. That's what God is trying to tell us this morning, that when you put your trust in me, He said, there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. When you take God and God comes into your heart, He takes His big hands and He wraps them around you, and there is nothing that can look at Peter. What did Peter do? Remember Peter? We'll talk about it maybe in a couple of weeks. Peter denied Christ three times, just exactly like Jesus told him. Peter said, no, you're the Christ. I would never betray you. And Jesus looked at him and said, before this night is over, you'll betray me three times. Before the rooster crows three times, you'll betray me. Or when the rooster crows. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And Peter did. Peter denied Christ. But where's Peter at today? Amen. Peter's with Jesus Christ because he had enough sense to say, Lord, forgive me. And God forgave him, and he is with Peter. You can go to Hebrews and read about all the those that God saved, and they look at King David. Look at what David did. David was adulterous. He was a murderer. He was ever all of those things, but God saved him. Samson committed suicide, and I'm not telling you to do that this morning. Samson did, and he is in the book of Hebrews. God tells us that he is living with him because they messed up and they put their trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Verse 14 says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoiced in their ships. He is telling all of your enemies, all of those that come against you, I will sink their boats in the ocean. He goes on here. Let me read the rest of it. He said, verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path through the mighty waters. He's telling the children of Israel, telling Isaiah that the children of Israel come across that ocean, and Jesus, God, opened the ocean up. The chariots run across after them, and the water closed, and they were distinguished. God is saying, don't worry. That's what he's saying. Don't worry about your enemies. Don't worry about those that come against you, because I am going to take care of them. And thus, this is what I have done up until this time. I am the Lord. I am your God. I am the Holy One. I am the Creator. I am the King. I am Jesus. I am Emmanuel. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the King of Kings, and I am the Lord of Lords. And there's nobody with power like I have, and there's nobody that's going to save you except me. I am the I Am. God wrote this. Man didn't write this. God wrote it. John was on the island of Patmos, and God told him, write these things in the book of Revelation. And here in Isaiah, God is telling the prophet Isaiah, this is what I've done. This is who I am. Verse 16, he says, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the waters, who brings forth the chariots and the horses and the armies and the powers. They shall lie down together. They shall not ride. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. God says, your enemies, if you're worried about Vladimir Putin or whatever his name is, and China and all these, one day, God said, you look, you worship me. You tell people about me. You love people. You help people. You do what I say, and you accept me as your Lord and Savior, and I will take care of all that. What does he say in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. If you put him first. But so many of us today, as his witnesses, are not putting him first. We're not doing what God said. We're doing what we say. If we want something, if we want to do something, we just do it. We don't ask God. I'm telling you the truth. God does miracles in Joanna and I's life all the time. And I am not bragging. I promise you I am not bragging, but our testimony is what we got. Brother Charlie stood up here last Sunday and gave his testimony of how God has blessed him in his life. If you put him first, last Sunday, for instance, before I walked out of this church, somebody gave me a check for $500. Joan and I went to eat down at Unalaska, whatever, Jerry's restaurant. We went to pay the bill. Somebody paid the bill. Stuff like this happens all the time. And you know what? It ain't because of me. It's because of Jesus Christ. God said, if you will do what I tell you to do, I will take care of everything that you got. And you may be sitting there saying, preacher, you ought not be telling that. Well, God told me to tell you that because God wants you to share in the blessing that we receive. We are all God's children. I'm no different. I'm probably the worst one of all of y'all. I fight and struggle day and day, but God takes care of us. And that's what God wants us to see this morning in this message. He is God. It don't make any difference about the world. It don't make any difference about all these things. Yeah, we need to be concerned. He told us, watch and get up every day praying that this is the last day that I am coming. He said, pray for the peace of Israel. But we know who is in control in the end, and it is Jesus Christ. Again, in verse 18, do not remember, this is what a lot of us have a lot of problem with. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. What good is it going to do for you to worry about something that's already happened? What good is it going to do? What good is it going to do to worry and fret about something that happened 15 years ago, 20 years ago? Only thing you can do is ask God to forgive you and go on. But he knew us, and that's the reason this is. Don't remember, he said, don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Don't worry about it. I got you. That's what it, do you realize this morning that God has got you, that God is in control? Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and the river in the desert. He is telling the children of Israel, he brought them out of the, across the sea. He has brought them on dry land. Remember what he done? He fed them. He's telling them, look, Isaiah, I'm going to bring y'all into a new place, a new land. And he's telling us this, the same thing. He is telling us the same thing in this book. He says that he's going to come back and that he is going to take us with him. And he said in John 14, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I am going to come back and receive you unto myself. He said, in the first step, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go there to prepare a place for you. He is going to prepare that place for us, but there's something we got to do. You see, he is already doing it. He has already completed it. There's only one thing that he has not completed, and that is that one day it's really going to happen. What mom and daddy said and grandma said and all them said 60, 70 years ago, 45 years ago, if you young people, the last all your life you heard it, Jesus is going to come. That one thing that he has not done. Let me tell you something else this morning he puts in my mind. He is going to come again, and there's only one thing that God will not forgive you for. And you know what that is? Denying that he's God. That's it. He said, don't, what did he say? Maybe you've done something, every one of us has done something worthy. The Bible says that every one of us is going to sin and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Maybe you've done something that's real, real bad. David done something that's real, real bad. He murdered somebody. He was adulterous. Have you murdered anybody? Maybe you have. I don't know. I don't know your heart. I don't know what you've done in your life. But he said, don't consider it. He said, do not remember the former things nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. I want to do a new thing in your life. I want to come into your heart. I want to turn you around. I want to make you serve me. I want to bless you. I want to bless you not only. And God says he will give us abundant life. He will take care of us, every one of us. He will, it may not be what we want. We may get sick. We have people die in our families. We have troubles. But God said, remember, don't worry. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do it. I'm going to, I am the one. I am the great I am. Look at what he said. Verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now I shall bring forth, shall you know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, I shall declare my praise. God says, I am going to take care of you. I am going to give you wisdom and knowledge, and I am going to bless you. I am going to take care of you. You understand what God's telling us this morning? Do we understand what God is telling us? He said, again, going back to Revelation chapter 3, I'm jumping this morning. He says, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who is true. Pay attention to that. There are so many people in this world today that are in high positions that are not true to what they say they are. Bunches of them. So he said, I am true. And I have the key to David. What I open can't be shut. What I shut, nobody can open. I know your works. I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Again, open door. He gave you Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That door is open. He said, I stand at the door, and if anybody knocks, it'll open and I'll receive you unto me. He says, I am, I am. And he continues. And he says, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have done and have not denied my name. Again, we talked about last Sunday. Hang on to what you got. Hang on to that strength. I told you, you know, it's like the woman reaching through the crowd of 1,000 people with the issue of blood, and she just touched the hem of his garment. She hung on to what she had, and he delivered her. Hang on to what strength you have. If you are losing that strength today, when we give this invitation, come down here and get on your knees and ask God to forgive you and get back in his good grace, because he is your God and he is your Father. He is your Lord. Verse 9 says, indeed, I will make those the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. He will make those who say they're Jews and say they're not. He will make those who say they're Christians and say they're spread the word of God and try to say the things that the lies and the things that they're saying and try to change God's word and try to change his book around. He says, I indeed will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make those come. And he says that every knee will bend. Every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every one of them is going to do it. Every one of them. I don't give you one more. God, this is, I use in Matthew 24, I think it's verse 11. It says, it talks about the great tribulation, the days that are coming that will be like tribulations no one has ever saw before. And he's talking about the world right now. And nobody saw the world in the condition it's in right now. I always use that verse. He says, but for the elect's sake. This week, God showed me two places in the Bible that says the same thing. And one of them is Revelation 10. He says, because you have kept because you have kept my commandment to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on earth. What did he say just then? He said, I am coming again, but when it gets so bad, that time of tribulation, that time that you never saw before, that you never thought you'd live in, I am going to come and I am going to take you, and then those that dwell on the earth are going to get it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, again, what did he? I also will keep you from the hour of trial. That's what he's talking about. I will keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. What about the Matthew? I find it. God wants me to read it. I may have to find it. I got a new Bible. Found it. Hadn't marked this one up yet. Matthew 24:22. He talks about in verse 21. It says, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the whole until this time, nor shall ever be again. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake. What did we just read in Isaiah? We are His people. He is our God. He is going to hold us in His hand. Remember the shell and the rock? When we go to Him, He opens that door and nobody is going to shut it. Nobody's going to get you back. You are His. And He says, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ or there, do not believe it. Because it's over, it's said, and it's done. And again, Revelation chapter 3. Because you kept my commandments and persevered. Because you didn't let all the goings on in the world, all the things in the world, you didn't let all that get to you. You kept on reading your Bible, you kept on getting on your knees, and you kept on praying. And because you did, I also will keep you from the hour of trial. What else do we... I already said, do you understand what God is saying to us this morning? I'm not saying... God is saying this. God is saying, put your faith and trust and hope in me. I am the only thing that you can put it in that's going to last. He said, I will keep you from a trial which shall come upon the whole world. There's a trial coming. But the trial is going to be so hard and so bad. When we get on through in the book of Revelation, I think it's around chapter 11 or 12, somewhere there, John is writing it to before every verse, he said, write these things. And things are so bad on this earth. We already gone with Jesus. But things are so bad, he tells him, don't write this because it's so horrible. People, what are you waiting on this morning? Why do you put your faith in the things of the world? Why don't you pray and ask Jesus to touch your life, to touch your family? Now, you say, I've been praying for years and years. Keep on praying because that's what he's talking about. Persevere. Keep on praying for those lost kids. Keep on praying for all the bad. Keep praying. Pray for the president. We may not like him, but he's the one in charge. Pray for him. The Bible tells us to. The Bible tells us, pray for the peace of Israel. I had a guy one time tell me, one of these doctors, he told me, we don't pray. I preached in his church. He said, we don't pray for the people of Israel. I said, yeah, go to Psalms. It tells you, pray for the peace of Israel. Pray for the peace of Israel. Pray that God has you covered in your family, and if you gave your life to Him, He says in Romans 10, confess with your mouth, Romans 9, 10, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart, and you shall be saved. Do you ever stop and think sometimes about, I know everybody's looking at the situation of the world, everybody I talk to, look at the price of gas, and if I stood up here and told you I wasn't concerned about the price of gas, I would be crazy. But I know that somehow, some way, in a way that I don't know, God is going to take care of us because He said He would. Not because I've got some promise that they show me on TV with the insurance company that, you know, this is going to happen. That's the biggest bunch of lies in the world, the insurance company. The only business you can be in, and the government tells you, you got to buy it. You got to have insurance. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You got to have God. Because if you don't have God, Lord help us. Because one day, He's going to shut the door, and one day it's going to all be over with, and one day every knee will bend, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, every one of them. Father God, we come to you this morning. God, as we stand all over this auditorium, Lord God, and give you praise right now, Lord God, I pray right now, God. I pray for one in here that doesn't know you, Lord God, that they come to you right now, Lord, and as you remind me right now, every Sunday there's people here that need to come, and they don't, Lord God, to come forward, Lord, and to give you their lives or to rededicate their lives. Maybe they need to be baptized. God, whatever the problem is, you wait right here. And God, I pray right now. God, as you have called us to do for the last 4 or 5 weeks, God, I call on every Christian in this church today, everyone that calls on the great I Am, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, God, if they can walk, to come down here and get on our knees and worship you, Lord, right now. God, that we give you all of our cares, Lord, that we pray to you, Lord, God, and we thank you for your mercy that you had on us, God, because we know that not one of us, there's not nobody in here that can save herself, Lord, only you. Because you said you are the great one. You are Alpha. You are the Omega. You're the beginning. You're the end. You're the first. You're the last. You are God. And Father, I pray right now that your people would come down and give you the credit, Lord God, for having the only thing. You gave your precious Son on that cross at Calvary. He shed his lifeblood for us. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, not only that he done the will of his Father, but Father, that he arose from that tomb. And God, that he has gone a prayer place for us. And God, if we put our trust and our hope in you, we know when that day of tribulation comes, God, that you're going to rescue us. And Father, we give you praise and we give you honor and we give you glory. For it's in your precious, holy, wonderful name we pray. God's people standing and God's people coming down and praying. Pray for those that are in here that's not saved. Pray for you lost. God, I pray in your name we pray. Amen.